Today's daf is the Charos daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Zayin and Beis. We were just getting started in the sugya of Efshar L'tzamtzeim. There was a machlokas in the Mishnah. What happens when a Rachel Shelo Bikra is Yolda Shnei Zecharim Yatsu Shnei Rishayim Kachas? Both of their heads come out at the same time. So Rabbi Yosef Glili said, okay, so they both go to the Kohen, because even multiple that come out at the same time go to the Kohen. The Chum say, no, it can never happen. Efshar L'tzamtzeim, it can't be that they come out at the exact same time. What do you have over here? You have a situation of some kind of a suffix. One of them is a Bechor, one of them is not a Bechor. So what do you do in that situation? So Rabbi Tarfon said, let the Kohen take the better one. Rabbi Kiva says, let the Kohen take the weaker one. Then Rabbi Tarfon seems to say something else. But the fundamental machlokas, at least on the broader level in the Mishnah, is it Efshar L'tzamtzeim or is it Efshar L'tzamtzeim? Can we discern that it happened at the exact same time or not? So we were trying to bring, so the Gemara had said that when it comes to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, so Efshar L'tzamtzeim, even Bidei Shamayim certainly would be Efshar L'tzamtzeim Bidei Adam. I mean, this is a situation that's Bidei Shamayim. It's a natural event that happens, that an animal gives birth. That's what we would call Bidei Shamayim. So certainly when a human being is trying to make something exactly right, that would certainly be Efshar L'tzamtzeim, and it could be that we'd have it meticulous and exact and perfectly at the same time. But according to the Rabbanan, that Efshar L'tzamtzeim, Bidei Shamayim, what would you hold about Bidei Adam? So the whole shaila is within the sheet of the Rabbanan, that Efshar L'tzamtzeim, Bidei Shamayim, do you also say Efshar L'tzamtzeim, Bidei Adam? Even when people are making an effort to make it the same, it would still be Efshar L'tzamtzeim? Or would we say, no, Bidei Adam, it would be Efshar L'tzamtzeim? So the Gemara was bringing rayas. We brought the first two rayas yesterday. The first raya was from the Chut HaSikra on the Mizbeh. Second raya was from the general size of the Mizbeach and the Kalim, the fact that we were told to measure it to a specific size. And now raya number 3, about 7 lines from the bottom of the page on Yud Zayin and Beis. Amar Rav Katina Toshma, Cholku L'Shnayim Vein Shavin. What if you have a kli that was broken into two equal parts? Normally the halacha is, if you have a kli cheres at tamei, so it requires shvira in order to be metaherit. So shvira requires that it be broken into small parts. What if you don't have a larger part and a smaller part? You have two equal parts. So tumeim lefishi. So they both retain tumah. Normally, only the larger half would retain its tumah, and the smaller part would not. So, but they're both tameim lefishi efshal tzamtzim, because it's efshal tzamtzim. But wait a second, this is a human being doing the breaking, and yet we say that it's efshal tzamtzim. So Rav Kahana shiny klicheres all the yesh bagumos. Now that's by klicheres, because the klicheres has all sorts of little holes in it that it doesn't split evenly. It doesn't split exact. Doesn't break exactly along a 50% line. Whenever you try to break it that way, it will, there will be little nooks and crannies, little crevices or whatever that are going to make it very hard for it to be exactly 50%. So that's why in the case of the Kli Cheres, it's Efshar L'tzamtzeim. But we still haven't resolved, what about in general? Bidei Adam, is it Efshar L'tzamtzeim or Efshar L'tzamtzeim? So Raya number 4. Tashma, what if you have a situation of a dead body that's found between two different cities? So there is a parsha in the Torah about Egla Arufa, that if you don't know where the guy came from, so we measure the two cities that are closest to it, and the city that's closest has to go through the Beis Din of the city that's closest, has to do a whole procedure called Egla Arufa. So what if it's not closer to one city or the other? Tashma, Nimtzu Mechuvan Bein Shtei Ayaros. What if you find it equally in between two cities, Shtei and Mevios Shtei Agolos Div Reb Lezer. So both of the cities bring two Agolos, meaning each one brings one. They each bring an Egla Arufa, according to Reb Lezer, because each one is considered the closest city. They're both equally close. So my time, Alav Mishum de Kasavar Bidei Adam, Efshal Tzamtzeim, Ukrovav Afilu Krovos. Oh, so don't you see that it's Efshal Tzamtzeim Bidei Adam, that it's therefore, and he darshans Krovav Afilu Krovos, that it doesn't have to be a single closest city. There could be two closest cities, as long as it's Efshal Tzamtzeim, that they're both actually the closest. So you see that it's Efshal Tzamtzeim. So says Gemara Lo, Savala Krabiosi Aglili, Dama Efshal Tzamtzeim Bidei Shamayim, Vikoshkim Bidei Adam. No, again, the whole shaila was within the sheet of the Rabbanan. Maybe this Rabbi Lezer is assuming like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we never had a doubt, holds that it's Efshal L'tzamtzeim, both Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam. So that's not an issue. Our whole issue was within the Rabbanan, so we still haven't resolved what the Rabbanan would say about Efshal L'tzamtzeim. Now, remember, we said yesterday that according to Rashi, the Gemara's suffix about whether it's Efshal L'tzamtzeim, Bidei Adam, according to the Chamim, was that even though Bidei Shemayim, it's Efshal L'tzamtzeim, that that's because, but by Bidei Adam, maybe it should be different because someone is trying to make it exact. Whereas Bidei Shemayim is just sort of how it happens. So that was the Svara of Rashi. So Tulsa asks on Rashi from this case of Egla Rufa. The Gemara is trying to bring a raya about Efshel Tzamtzim Bidei Adam. And what does it bring a raya from? A dead body that's found between two cities. Would this really be defined as Bidei Adam by Rashi's definition of Bidei Adam? Rashi's definition of Bidei Adam is that someone placed it exactly to try to make it exactly at the 50% mark. By the Chud HaSikra, that makes sense. They paint on the Chud HaSikra to try to make it exactly at the 50% mark. Someone placed this dead body to try to put it just so between two cities? Obviously, that's not the case. The only thing that's Bidei Adam over here is the measuring after we already found the dead body. No one placed it to figure out exactly where it should be, and that's why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. The Ri writes, Tosfos writes, B'shem the Ri, that Be'emes, E'ef Shalot Samtseim does not mean that it can't happen. It means that it's a suffix that we're unable to ascertain and to measure that it will be that it was exactly right. So the real chiluk between Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam is how quickly does it happen. Bidei Shemayim is an event that happened and now I can't go back and measure it. There was a birth. How am I supposed to go back and figure that out, whether it was exactly the same time or not? Unless you have video evidence and you go through the replay and play it in frame by frame in slow motion, it'd just be impossible. There's no way we're ever going to be able to really be omed al adavar. Bidei Adam means not that a person tried to do it, but that it's efshar lamod al adavar, that it's possible to figure it out. It's possible to go and measure and be careful and try to be very precise in the measuring. Well, that you have all day to measure. I mean, there's no problem if the dead body is found. In the case of the dead body, there would be no issue of a time period that you have to measure it by. You could take as much time as you need and go measure it. So that would be considered Bidei Adam. That is the shita of Tosfos. Good. The Gemara's maskana is actually going to be that according to every shita, let's see the name of Katanai first. Says Gemara, name of Katanai is still on the Egla Arufa topic. Maybe this issue of Efshel Tzamtzim is actually machlokas Tanaim in the world of Egla Arufa. Nimtzu mechuvim in shtei ayaros. You find the dead body exactly, precisely between two cities. Lo hayu orphan. They wouldn't do an Arifa at all, says the Tanakama. We just quoted the sheet of Rabbi Lezer before that each city does the Arifa, and we're going to quote it again, but right now we're pointing out that it's not agreed upon by all. Tanakama holds there is no Arifa process, procedure that's done when it's found Mechuvin min Shtei Yaros. Rabbi Lezer Omer Shtei and Mevi Shtei Agolos. Rabbi Lezer says, absolutely we bring Egla Arufa. In fact, we bring two. Let each of the closest cities bring an Egla Arufa. What are they arguing about? My love, Baha'ka Mifugi. The Tanakama suffer E.F. Shalit Samtseim. Rabbi Lezer suffer F. Shalit Samtseim. Tanakama must hold this E.F. Shalit Samtseim, so you don't bring an Egla Arufa because you have no idea. And Rabbi Lezer says it's F. Shalit Samtseim, so they're both Chayiv and Egla Arufa. Says the Gemara of Tizbra, you think that could be the Machlokas? If the Tanakama really held that it's Yef Shalit Samtseim, that we're never able to define with precision that the dead body is exactly precisely between the two cities, so why would you not bring any Egla Rufa? I have a better idea. Your view Egla Achas B'Shutfus V'Yisnu. So, meaning all you're saying when you say Yef Shalit Samtseim is that it's definitely closer to one city or the other, we just don't know which one. Good. So then one city is definitely chayiv in Egla Arufa. So bring an Egla Arufa and let the two cities be shutfim in it, and they'll make it tonight. You would do this by Karbanos all the time. If you're the one that's chayiv in it, I'm makne my chelek to you. And if I'm the one that's chayiv, you're makne your chelek to me. And let the cities do that way, because there's certainly a chayiv for Egla Arufa. It's closer to one of the cities. We just can't figure out which one. Ella lahani tana'i, so it must be that we're misunderstanding the machlokas. Machlokas can't be about efshal tzamtzim or efshal tzamtzim. Ella lahani tana'i dukalei alma efshal tzamtzim. Must be everyone holds that it's efshal tzamtzim. And that we are certain that this dead body was found precisely between the two cities. It is closer to neither of the two cities. V'hacha b'krova v'lo krovos k'miflgi. The whole machlokas tanakam in Reb Lazar, whether you bring zero Egla Arufas or two Egla Arufas, is whether you can have more than one city, chayiv in Egla Arufa. The Tanakama suffer krova velo krovos. Tanakama holds, no, only an ear hakrova brings, not a yaros hakrovos. And since there are two cities that are both krovos, mela, the whole parsha of Egla Arufa doesn't apply, you don't do Egla Arufa. Reb Lezer suffer krova vefilu krovos. And Reb Lezer holds, no, krova vefilu krovos. It doesn't have to be a single closest city. If there are two closest cities, good. So two cities will bring an Egla Arufa. So my Havila, what are we passing at the end of the day? Efshal Tzamtzim B'dei Adam, Yefshal Tzamtzim B'dei Adam, what are the Rabbanon hold exactly? So Amr B'chir Barav Namr of Amram, Tana, we learned, Nimtzu Mechuvan Bein Shtei Ayaros, Rebbe Lezer Amr Shtei Mevio Shtei Agalos, V'chomrom Yevio Egla Achas B'shutfus V'yisnim. A third Shita, right? We had the same case, and now there's a third Shita. Dead body found equally between two cities. So before we had a Tanakama that said, you don't bring anything. Rebbe Lezer keeps on saying, in every case that we quoted, and this is the third time we quoted him already, you bring two Egla Arufas. And now we have a Chachamim that say, you bring one Egla Arufa and you make it Tanai. So what do these Chachamim hold? Maika Savi Rabbanan. Ika Savi Rabbanan de Efshal Tzamtzim Ukrova Filu Krovos. If they hold that it's Efshal Tzamtzim, that you could know with precision it's exactly between the two cities, and they hold that even more than one city could be labeled the closest city, so Laisitarti, then they should just hold like Rabbi Eliezer. They should bring two, because that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Vi Krova Velo Krovos. If they hold that it's Efshal Tzamtzim, but there can only be one closest, and if there's more than one closest, the whole parsha falls away, then afilu chadololai, see, they shouldn't even bring one. Then they should hold like the Tanakama that we mentioned before. So what could they hold? What could the logical basis of their shita be? Elav shmaminak savi rabbanon, ef shal tzamtzim vafilu b'dei adam shmamina. So what you see from here is that the rabbanon must hold that ef shal tzamtzim, and therefore they hold one of them is closer. We just don't know which one it is. So there is chiyuv of egla arufa. We just don't know which town has to bring it. So you make a tanai, do a shutfus, and make a tanai between them, and that way you'll have the egla arufa brought in that way. So according to the maskana of the Gemara, both tanaim in the brisa that we originally quoted, meaning everyone except for these chachamim, both the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar hold that efshal tzamtzim, and they're arguing about the halacha of krova vafilu krovos. Rabbi Elazar holds krova vafilu krovos, and two cities could be chayiv and egla arufa. Tanakama says, no, krova velo krovos, so two cities that are both closest are going to be pater. Says the Keren Ora in Maseches Sota, asks the Keren Ora in Maseches Sota, daf mem hei amud beis. L'chora, the dead body comes from one of the two cities. It didn't come from both, right? So if that's the case, why don't you bring a single egla as a kapara b'tanai, meaning make a tanai that if the dead body came from town A, let the egla be mechaper on them, and if it came from town B, let the egla be mechaper on them. Because the miut of krova velo krovos is only when they both need to bring an egla arufa. But if you bring one al tanai, it will turn out that one city will get its kapara. Meaning what the Keren Ora is essentially saying is, let's go back to the basics of what the concept of egla arufa is. Why do we go with the karov by egla arufa? We go with this town that's Karov because that town, the town that this guy came from, needs a kapara. It's not just Pashut a din in Karov. It's a din in discerning where did this guy come from. So if he definitely came from one of these places, so why do we say, oh, Krovav Afilu Krovos, we can't have two Agla Rufos. We don't say Krovav Afilu Krovos, can't have two Agla Rufos, so we have zero. He definitely came from somewhere. Bring one and let get a kapara that way. So the Torah Saknaos is Metarets that if every city b'fnei atzma requires a kapara, then it wouldn't help to bring one kapara together, because that would be considered a chatzi kapara for the entire city, meaning there is no such thing as doing a chatzi kapara. He says it's very similar to what we find in Maseches Baba Kama on Dav Mem. If you have a shor shel shnei shutvim that kills somebody, you don't pay a single kofar, because it would turn out that each one is being mischaper b'chatzi kofar, and the Torah says kofar shalem v'lo chatzi kofar. So Tosus over there writes that anything that has to do with kapara, you need a kapara shlema. There's no such thing as a half a kapara. So it could be the same thing by an egla arufa, that you can't be mechalek, you can't be split up an egla arufa between two ayaros. If it's efshal tzamtzim, and you know that it's closest to both, you don't split a kapara between two cities that are closest, because you can't have a chatzi kapara. Now, another point over here. So the Gemara says, so it turns out that the Rabbanon hold efshal tzamtzim afilu b'dei adam. Right? The Gemara is confident that it's efshal tzamtzim afilu b'dei adam. So the Mincha Chareva in Maseches Sota asks, from here on the Shitas of Rambam. The Rambam, we've mentioned before, a very famous Rambam, holds that Savik Daraisa L'Chumra is only itself a Din D'Rabbanan. I mean, the fact that we go L'Chumra and a Savik Daraisa is not a Din D'Raisa, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. Mida O'Raisa, all sfeikos would be mutter. The Rabbanan came along and said, we should treat our rice as a little more strictly, so something that rice l'chumra is a din Rabbanan. If that's the case, why are we mechayiv any of these cities? Each city has a suffix that maybe it's not the one that's chayiv. Meaning, according to the Rabbanan, Eif Shal Tzamtze means it wasn't exactly between the two cities. It was closer to one. We just have no idea which one it was closer to. So what does he say? Bring one egla arufa and let them split it. Whatever happened to, and that seems like it's a din d'oraisa. Well, mida oraisa, it should be completely patur, because mida oraisa, each city should say, I have a suffix d'oraisa, and mida oraisa, suffix d'oraisa is the kula. So why would there be a din d'oraisa that they have to split it? Now, the Kasha assumes that the din, the Gemara is telling us that they have to split it, is a din d'oraisa. I don't know how he knows that. Maybe it's a din d'rabbanan that they have to split it. Maybe in a chanami, mida oraisa, they wouldn't have to bring anything. And it's a din d'rabbanan that they have to bring one al tanai. But he quotes that the Panim Yafos writes that you can't say suffik lakula because each one could be makel on its, if each one is makel on itself, it's by definition making a statement about the chiv of the other one. Meaning, if a city A says, no, we're not the krova, we should go lakula, we should assume we're not the krova. What they're saying is that city B is the krova, and therefore they have a chiv. City B says, we're not the krova, city A is the krova. So that's what the Panim Yafos says. You wouldn't say suffik, you wouldn't say a suffik lakula in a situation where the suffik lakula will be a tarti disastri, where it can't be that both sides have a suffik lakula. So he writes, the Mincha Chareva says, I don't know where he got that klal. I don't know where he got that rule. I don't know what his tamiya is. I think we always have that rule. The famous Ran in Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara says in Pesachim Kuf Ches, that we're not sure which two cups you're supposed to lean for by the Dalet Kosel. Should it be the first two? Should it be the last two? So the Gemara says, okay, since Rav Nachman says you should, we have a brisa that says that you should, we have one version of Rav Nachman says you should lean for the first two, another version says lean for the last two. Okay, so Yidi V'Yidi Bar Yaseba, so we lean for all four. Fret the Ran, what do you mean so we lean for all four? Savik Rabban Lakula. So the Ran says, no, you can't say Savik Rabban Lakula, because what's going to happen? You're going to say Savik Rabban Lakula on the first two, you're going to say Savik Rabban Lakula on the last two, you're never going to lean. It just doesn't make sense, and we know for sure you're supposed to lean by two, so we know for sure we're doing something wrong then. Savik Rabban Lakula doesn't work when you know for sure that you're ending up with a situation that's wrong. So that's what the Panimov is saying. I think that's well known throughout Rishonim and Acharonim. I'm not sure why the Mincha Chareva has such a difficult time understanding where this comes from. It can't be that if we know one city is the closest, you can't say something about Nakula on both cities. One more point, and that is the Rambam Paskins in Hilchus Wotzeach Perek Tes Halacha Vav, like the Chacham over here, that you would bring one egla because he assumes Eif Shal Tzamtzeim, so you'd only bring one egla Rufa and make the whole Tanai, you'd bring a Beshutfus, the whole thing. But he adds one more point, and that is that that's only if the population of the two cities is exactly the same. The Rambam is based on a Gemara in the second paragraph of Masechet Basra. The Gemara over there is a whole sugi about Rov V'Karov. What if you have one city that's closer and another one has the majority? Which is a greater way to answer a question of where the guy came from? Is the majority the greater machria, or is the closest city the greater machria? And the Gemara's maskana over there seems to be that Rov is definitely the greater machria. We use Rov everywhere. We use Rov in Gan Shas. Where do we use Karov? Very rarely. I mean, Egla Rufa is the only din, the only time the Torah ever teaches us that there's even a concept of Karov. So the Gemara seems to assume that Rov is definitely a greater of the two machria. So if you're not sure where the dead body came from, you would first look at, and it's between two cities, you would first look at which city has more people in it. And that city would bring the Egla Rufa. It's only if they have the same exact number of people in it, says the Rambam, that you would then resort to Karov, and you would then say that if it's exactly in between the two cities, and you don't have a Karov either, so Eif Shal Tzamtzeim, they have to bring it Peshutfus. However, the Tosos Rid explains that Rov doesn't mean the same exact population. When would that ever happen? That would completely change that would make it that there would never be such a din of Egla Rufa. Anyway, based on things the Gemara says in Bab Basra, it's likely there was never such a din of Egla Rufa. It has to be two cities, Bein Shtei Harim, because you can't have a Ruba Di Alma either. You can't have a Rov from the rest of the world either. It has to be that it could have only come from these two cities. But anyway, the Tosfos Ritz says, now Rov doesn't mean it has the same exact population. It means a Rov HaNikar Le'enayim. That you look at the two cities, you say, yeah, those cities are the same size. They're both small towns, they're both mid-sized cities. Not that, that if in order for it to be a Rov, you need to have one city that's clearly recognizably larger than the other city. If you have to do a census to figure it out, then it's not really larger. Okay, that sugya of Rov Karov, that's where the Gemara has that the Gemara tries to figure out with birds that come from different nests. If you could assume it came from the closest nest, or do you assume it came from the larger nest, or from the Ruba di Alma? So that's a well known sugya in Shas. Okay, says the Gemara further. Now we are at the two dots. Rabbi Tarfon Omar Koin Bar Lo Asiyafa. So we said according to Rabbi Tarfon, what do you do if you have two bechoros came out at the same time, two male babies came out at the same time, so which one do you give to the Kohen? So assuming that you do give one of them to a Kohen, the Kohen gets, Rabbi Tarfon says, the better one. My time with Rabbi Tarfon, not just because we try to be nice to the Kohen. No, we assume that's the actual Bechor. The better one is much more likely the one that's a little more vigorous, a little stronger, so we have the right to assume that that one came out first. That's why we give it to a Kohen. It's not just Stam that we want to be nice to the Kohen. It's good to be nice to a Kohen also, but over here it's an assumption, it's Chazakah, that was actually the firstborn. The Rashash is Medayik from Rashi in the Mishnah, that according to Rabbi Tarfon, the second Zachar that comes out, the other one, the weak one, is chulin gemurim, meaning this chazaka is so strong that the stronger one is the real firstborn, must have come out a little bit ahead, that we can assume that the other one is complete chulin. And therefore, when Rabbi Akiva says that the second animal should be yira ach yistaev, should be left to graze until it develops a mum, Rabbi Tarfon wouldn't agree with that. Because this svara is such a strong svara, we would say, no, let the other one be treated like a regular chulin animal. It's absolutely a regular chulin animal. That's our Rashash's medayik from Rashi. However, the Chazon Ish in Simon Yotes, Osir Aleph, disagrees. He says that if the reason for Rabbi Tarfon was that it's a rov barur, so the Sheni would be a chulin gemurim. The Sheni would, in fact, be chulin. However, the Mashmos of the Mishnah doesn't sound like he disagrees on the halacha that Yirat Shi Yistayiv, that the second one should graze until it develops a mum. It sounds like he accepts that. It's just that you have to say therefore that this leans us in the direction that it's more likely that the stronger one is the real Bechar. But it's certainly not a Vadai. Certainly not to the extent that we're just going to be totally Mekel on the other one. And that's how Rabbi Tarfon would still maintain the Chumrah on the other one as well. That's how the Chazon Ish understands. Rabbi Akiva Omer Meshamnin. So Rabbi Akiva says, you're Meshamnin. So I translated that yesterday as, let the Kohen get the weaker one. That's not really what the word means. Meshamnin Beinehen means something else. It doesn't really mean Kohen gets the weaker one. So So it takes the Amora Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan to say, ah, this means that the Kohen gets the weaker one. To which the Gemara asks, I'm just reading Hebrew. Mishamnin Beinehen doesn't mean Kohen gets the weaker one. How do you understand the words? Samalei, Ada achalta kafniyasa bebavel targimna miseifa. So he says, while you're busy eating dates in Bavel, we could answer that question and be able to be targim the Mishnah properly based on the seifa. Dikotani seifa meis echad mehen. Rabbi Tarfon omer yachloku. The seifa says that if one of them dies, Rabbi Tarfon says you split the remaining animal. Rabbi Kiva omer hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, the Bailum gets to keep the remaining animal because let the Kohen prove that the one that's alive is the Bechor. But Visal Kadaitok Meshamnin Benein, the Chiadadi, Pligi, Hachinami Liflagabe Adadi. If you hold Meshamnin Benein, which presumably when asking the question, how could you say it means the Kohen gets the weaker one, presumably what he was angling towards was that Meshamnin Benein means you split them both evenly. He said, well, if that were the case, then when one of them died, you should split the remaining one evenly. And yet no one holds that way, right? So, yet Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold that way, and we're trying to figure out the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, right? Rabbi Kiva does not say split the remaining one evenly. He says, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. So if Meshamnin Beinehen means that you split them both evenly, well, when one dies, you should split the remaining one evenly. And Rabbi Kiva doesn't say that way, and therefore it's a raya that Elamai Meshamnin Shomen Yehei Beinehen. Damalei Lekohen, Aisi Raya De Bechor Hu V'Shakil. Let the fatness be between them, meaning that the Kohen, you could say to the Kohen, bring a raya that it's the real Bechor, and then you could take it, right? That's what Shomen Yeh Beinehem is, the fact that one of them is fatter than the other one is going to be Mutal Beinehem, is going to be the matter of dispute between them, and it's always going to be up to the Kohen to prove it. So if they're both alive and one of them is fatter, and the Kohen wants the fatter one, so the Bailin could say, yeah, prove to me that the fatter one is yours, and you could take it. And he can't prove it, obviously, and therefore he's going to take the skinnier one. That is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. It's an interesting insult. Why would he? I mean, he asked a simple question, that the words Meshamnin Beinehen doesn't sound like it means the Kohen gets the skinnier one. So what does it mean? While you're eating the dates in Bavel, so Rashi says, Adachalta kafniyasa Bavel, ba'ot sheyisa ochel tamarim b'bavel, uma'adin atzmecha. While you're being ma'adin yourself, while you're enjoying life over there in Bavel, eating dates, we're working on learning over here. So apparently, I'm just assuming that the reason he got upset about this was because the raya was right there in the seifa. Meaning when you read a Mishnah, so it's very easy to ask a kasha in the first line, but if you don't read the second line and the third line and the fourth line, well, you really shouldn't ask any kashas. You should put in the necessary effort to read through the entire thing carefully and see if the question is answered a little bit later on. That's why some yeshivas, they never get past Daf Beis. You know, they're asking kashas and kashas and kashas. They don't realize Daf Gimel answers half of the kashas, and Dav Dalit answers the other half of the kashas. So you have to read a little bit weiter. So he's saying, you took it too easy. You weren't, that's why Ma'adin Atzmecha, you're sitting there reading dates, you're taking it too easy. You think you could sit there, read one line, and ask kashas, and act like a chacham. You have to work at it. You have to be Mivar Svaras. I just gave a shiur yesterday in Yeshiva about the Hakdama, the Egle Tal, the Hakdama to the Sefer Egle Tal. And one of the things he complains about, one of the things he complains about in the Hakdama, is that in Yeshiva sometimes, there's too much emphasis on svaras. Everyone reads something, they say, here's a svara, there's a svara. He says, how about just reading what it says and figuring out how all the Rishonim read the Gemara? Just be mevarer the shitos. That's the ikar in learning. Not to just throw out a svara here, a svara there, if it's not based on anything. So that's a mistama. That sounds like it was the criticism. I think the Chavos Yarin, that famous tshuva where he discusses all of the rankouts in Chazal and tries to explain why they're not really insults and they're really just very kind words that sound like insults, I think he deals with this one. I just don't remember. I don't remember what he said. I didn't have a chance to look it up. Okay, Vasheni Yirachi Yisayi V'chayiv Matanus Rabbi Yossi Poter. So then the second one is left to graze until it develops a mum, and it's chayiv in matanos. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's not chayiv in matanos. Meaning, if it were really a bechor, it wouldn't be chayiv in matanos. You wouldn't have to give the matanos kuna. But if it's a regular animal, it is chayiv in matanos. So my time is Rabbi Meir. Why would Rabbi Meir say? Interesting, we're assuming it's Rav Meir who says that it's Chayiv Matanos. Why does Rav Meir say that you're Chayiv B'Matanos? Some Rabbi Yochanan, hold the Kohen Bal of Mishnei Tzadim, because the Kohen can say, Miman of Shuch, you have to give me the Matanos. Damerlei, because the Kohen could say, look, I Bechor Hu, Kulei Didihu. If this animal is in fact a Bechor, well then the whole thing belongs to me. I Lo Bechor Hu, Havli Matanos Minei. If it's not a Bechor, well then, okay, give me the Matanos. So either way, I deserve the Matanos. I either deserve the Matanos plus, or I deserve the Matanos alone. Okay, that's a pretty strong argument. So Rabbi Yossi, my time, why would Rabbi Yossi say not to give the Kohen the Matanos? Pretty strong Miman of Shuch over there. So I'm a Rabbi says, Asu She'enu Zoche Kizoche. We treat the Kohen who had not taken possession of the animal as if he had already taken possession of the animal, the Avagav de la Mataliyadeh, even though it never actually came into his possession, Kimand Mataliyadeh v'zavani l'Yisrael b'mumei. We view it as if it was given to the Kohen, it developed a mum, and then he sold it back to the Israel. What was his payment in selling it back to the Israel? Getting the other animal. Remember, there were two animals that were both Pesavik over here. So the animal that doesn't go to the Kohen, we view it as if the Kohen had gotten it, it developed a mum, and he sold it back to the Israel, b'mumei. In which case, there's no chiyuv of matanos on such an animal. So that's why Rabbi Yossi holds that there's no chiyuv of matanos. Amr Blazar, Hakol Mold Misafik Bukhar, Shein Khalif and Biad Kohen, Shachaiv Matanos. What if you have a regular case of Safik Bukhar where it's there weren't two animals, but it's a Safik Bukhar, let's say you don't know if the mother had a previous lady or not, it's a single animal that's Safik Bukhar. There's no Khalif in Biad Kohen. There's no other animal that the Kohen is holding on to. Well, in that case, everyone would say it's Chaiv Matanos. Because then the Kohen can come with the Miman of Shach. If it's a Bukhar, you owe me the whole animal. If it's not a Bukhar, you at least owe me the Matanos. So it says Kol Modim Man, Rabbi Yossi. Who's the Akol Modim referring to? Even Rabbi Yossi, who says that in the case of the two animals, the Kohen cannot demand the Matanos, by a single animal he can demand the Matanos. Says Mar Pshita, of course Rabbi Yossi would say he can by a case of a single animal. Ad kam lo kapata Rabbi Yossi asmel, the chalipin biat Kohen, dasu shena zocha kezocha. Because the whole svara of Rabbi Yossi, why he couldn't demand it in the case of two animals, is because he's holding on to the other animal, and that was his payment. Avalein chalipin biat Kohen, no, but obviously, if he's not holding on to anything, so obviously he can't demand anything. I mean, obviously then, I'm sorry, he can demand the matanos. So what's the chiddush that even Rabbi Yossi is moda when there's only one animal? So Gemara says, this is the chiddush. Mal de tema, time de Rabbi Yossi de kasavar, di mechayavus le matanos, asi leili de gizav avoda, afal gav de in chalib miyad kohen. I might have thought that Rabbi Yossi would say that you're never chayav in matanos on a suffik b'char, because if you give matanos, people will say, oh, it must be a chulin animal, and therefore we could treat it like a full-fledged chulin animal, we'll do giza with it, we'll do avoda with it, and you're going to be mechal the kedusha of the animal. It's going to be a terrible thing. So that's why not to give matanos, even if on a dine mamonis level, the Kohen has every right, has a miman of shechtaina that would be able to get in the matanos. That's what I would have thought. Kamash Milan, that's why I'm told that no, we're not concerned of any such thing, and even Rabbi Yossi would be moda that you would have to give the matanos to a Kohen when it's a single suffik b'char. Frankly, Gemara, Mima Matzah Samardachi, is that even a valid Hava Amina? That we would have thought not to give Matanos, even when the Kohen has a valid argument because we're worried about Gizav Avoda? Vatani Seifa, but it says Beferish in the Seifa, Shahayi Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shechalifa Biad Kohen, Patamina Matanos, Verabbi Meir Mechayiv. That Rabbi Yossi says, as long as Chalifa Biad Kohen, you're Patamina Matanos, which is very clear that Rabbi Yossi is trying to tell me, Chalip and Biad Kohen, in ain chalip and biad kohen lo, that you're only patur from matanos when the kohen is holding on to another animal, when you had given him another animal. But if you didn't give him another animal, it's clear in Rabbi Yossi's words that you wouldn't be chayiv in that you would then be chayiv in matanos if you didn't give him another animal. So how could we say there's a hava amina that even when he doesn't have another animal that you would still be patur from matanos? No, it's in Rabbi Yossi, in Rabbi Yossi's words that you would be chayiv matanos. Says more now, mal detem Rabbi Yossi l'drav. I might have thought that Rabbi Yossi's formulation was simply addressing Rabbi Meir. It was addressing the way Rabbi Meir had presented to him. Lididi, Rabbi Yossi was saying, according to me, even if the Kohen hasn't been given anything, you should not give him matanos, because if you do give him matanos, people will come to be mekel with this animal and assume it's chulin and do gizav avoda with it. That's what Rabbi Yossi was saying. But lididach, but even according to you, That you do give him matanos. At least be moded to me in a case where the Kohen is holding on to the animal, that you wouldn't be chayiv to give matanos, because after all, it's as if he sold you back an animal that was a balmum in exchange for the animal that he's holding on to. Ramer says, no, I don't view it that way. I think he has a valid miman of shechtaina either way. He never got the second animal, and therefore he can come with that very valid Taina of Miman of Shachav. Either it's a Bechor and Yomi the whole thing, or it's not a Bechor and Yomi the Matanos. Fine. Va'amar of Papa. Papa also says, Hakol Modim, Besafik Meiser Shapatim and Matanos. If you have a case of a Safik Meiser Behema, it's also Patim and Matanos. Meaning the animal that's given as Meiser Behema itself is obviously Patim and Matanos. What if it's Safik Meiser? So he says Patim and Matanos. What is Safik Meiser? What is a case of Safik Meiser? So Rashi writes that Safik Meiser, Rashi appears in Amun Aleph, it's another misplaced Rashi, we have a few of those already. Rashi writes that Safik Meiser is one of the animals that have already been taken as Meiser, jumped back into a pen of animals that were Einan Usarin, that haven't had Meiser taken from them yet. So one of these animals in this pen is Meiser. You just have no idea which one it is. That's how Rashi understands. Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, we're talking about a case where you karel chi asiri lasiri chi. The halacha is the ninth one that came out of the pen you called asiri, and the tenth one that came out you called the ninth. So the halacha is both of them have a din of Safik Meiser. So the difference, Rabbeinu Gershom holds, it's not an actual Safik, you know exactly what happened, but there's a din of Safik, that when you mislabel them, it becomes a din of Safik, whereas Rashi understands it as, no, it's an actual Safik. So the obvious kasha is, the Gemara calls it a Safik. So why would Rabbeinu Gershom not want to say, like Rashi? It seems like a much more logical translation of the word Safik. So it could be, the Rashi's Bikurim writes, that Be'emes, if one of have the numbered ones jump back in, it would be the din is that it should be batel in the rove of animals that were not meister behema. The only thing is the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that balei chayim are not batel. But we're not talking about whether you judge it as meiser or not over here. Now we're talking about whether it's chayiv in matanos. Matanos is after you shecht it. Once you shecht it, it's not balei chayim anymore. So now it should vayter to become batel. So Rabbeinu Gershom says, I don't understand what Rashi's metzias is. If the animal jumped back in the pen, and then you shecht it all of them, so the one that's meiser is batel barov. So that's why it's a non-starter. The whole discussion doesn't begin, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, if you read it like Rashi. But anyway, whatever the case is, something meiser patam or matanos. Says Gemara, who's hakol modim? Hakol modim man. Rameir is apparently the Akol Modim, that a Savig Meister is Patim Ramatanos. So the more Pshita, of course Rameir would say it's Patim Ramatanos. Adkal Nokam Achayv Rameir Hasam, El Besafik Bechor, Hol Baal of Koin Mishneit Stadin. The only reason Rameir says that by a Safik Bechor it's Chayv in Matanos is because the Koin has a Miman of Shech. He can say, if the animal is a Bechor, you owe me the whole thing. If the animal is not a Bechor, you owe me the Matanos. Of Savig Meister Lo, if the animal is Meister, you don't owe him the whole thing. The Meister is brought as a carbon, it's not given to the Koin anyway. So there is no Miman of Shech, there's no Taina to begin with. Of course, it's going to be Potter. Says Mar Nav, Mal the time of time that Rameir dolt to shtokach Torahs matanos afilu suffik meiser nami. One might have thought that Rameir's main reasoning is not really because of this miman of shach, because in Echinam you don't have that miman of shach over here. Rameir's main reasoning is you better give him matanos so that we don't forget that there's such a concept of giving matanos, and therefore suffik meiser you also have such a concept. You better not forget that there's a concept of giving matanos, so we better give the matanos. Come Ashma, and therefore comes teach me that no, the real logic for a mayor was based on the Miman of Shechtaina, which only applies to Safek Bechar, where the Kohen would actually get it if it was a Bechar, and does not apply to Safek Meiser. Frankly, Gemara, Mimat Samar Hachi. Can you really say that? That was the Svar of Rameir, that it was based on Shalot Tishtakach? Vakatani Seifa, Shay Rabbi Yossi, Omer Kol Shechliv Biat Koin Patim Ramatanos. Rameir, Mechayev. Rameir says that you're Chayev. So it says, well, no, Mal Detem Rameir, a philosophic Maisim Mechayev. I might have thought that Rameir says you're Chayev, not, meaning, the point is that Rameir set his din by a Safik Bechar. If he held this din that you're Chayev, even by a Safik Maisir, why not tell it to me by a Safik Maisir, where it's even a greater Chiddush, where even though the Kohen is not entitled to the Maisir, he still gets the matanos. So why did he only tell it to me by Safik Bechor? Must be, because it's obvious that he doesn't hold this din by Safik Meiser. So says Gemara, no. Mal detem Rameir afilu Safik Meiser Mechayev. There's a valid Hava Mina to assume that even by Safik Meiser Rameir would have been Mechayev. Aye, why is the case only by a case of Chalipin of Bechor? V'had mifgi b'chalipin lo diacha kochad Rabbi Yossi. Depatra afilu hechad dekoin bal of Mishneit Stadin. Come Hashmolan. The reason why the Machlokas appears in the case of Bechor is to tell you just how strongly Rabbi Yossi holds his shita, that even when there's a miman of shechtaina, Rabbi Yossi would still say you're pater from matanos. That's why it frames the machlokas on that case. Kamash Mulan, therefore, comes tell me, but at the end of the day, that anyway, Rameir would be moda by Safik Meiser, that it's all based on the Muman of Shechtaina, not based on any Gzer Shlot Shtakach. Good, weiter. Meisachon man, Rabbi Tafron Omri Achloku. If one of the animals dies, so Rabbi Tafron says you split the other one. Amaya Achloku, why would you split it? Rabbi Tafron is the one that said that the Kohen deserves the fatter one. So Nechzi, Ishamin Mis, the Kohen who? If the fatter one died, so the Kohen's animal died. Let the Balabais keep the other one. Vahaydika the Balabais. Vi Kachosh Mis, and if the weaker one died, the Balabais miss by Dika to Kohenhu. Then obviously the Balabais' animal died, and let the Kohen get the fatter one. What's the splitting business? So Rabbi Ami, Chazabar Rabbi Tafron. Remember we saw Rashi in the Mishnah said that yesterday. Rabbi Tafron apparently changed his mind. He originally held the Kohen gets the fatter one, and then apparently he changed his mind. Rabbi Kiva Omar Motsi Mechaver Lavaraya. Rabbi Kiva says Motsi Mechaver Lavaraya. Am Rabbi Chia, Masuj Rabbi Tafron the Maladavar Dome. Rabbi Tafron is like the following case. L'shnaim Shev Kidu Eitzel Roe, Sheminiach Roe B'nei Mustalik. Two people gave an animal to a Roe. The Roe only has one animal to show for it, so he leaves it between them and then runs away. Rabbi Kiva's sheet is like this. It's like one guy who was mafkid something by a balabais. You want to say that he owes it to you, you got to bring a raya that he still owes it to you. Well, if they're talking about two totally different cases, then what's the machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Kiva, polig b'shnaim shevkidu etzel roa, shemeniach roa mistalik. What does Rabbi Kiva not hold? That if two people give to a roa, that the roa can be maniach and Rabbi Tarfon disagrees in Rabbi Akiva's case that there's a din of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya when it's just between two parties. So that can't be. Am Rav Avitem Rav Papa, This is how it works. Everyone agrees, two people give animals to a roe, that the roe can just leave the remaining animal, whatever he's left with, in between them and run away. When it's a deal between two parties, clearly everyone would agree, we would apply a motzi mechaver lav haraya. Lo nechluku ela b'chatzer balabayis v'roa kohen. The issue is, if the chatzer belongs to a balabayis, and there's a roa that's a kohen. Rabbi Tarfon said, Rabbi Tarfon holds he's makne him a chelik in the chatzer, and we have a chazaka that a person always wants the balabais makne to the kohen and makom in his chatzer, so that he could be zochet to the bechoros as soon as they're born in the chatzer. And we assume a person wants the mitzvah of being megadol bechoros of a kohen in his chatzer to be done with his property, and therefore vavelik shneim shivkidu etz l'roah shemniach ro b'nei mustalik. Therefore, it has a case of a legitimate shneim shivkidu etz l'roah. Rabbi Akiva savor kiven dislep say the lo makne lei meidaim vavelik ha'echad shivkidu etz l'balabais shemotz mechaver l'vraya. Rabbi Akiva says, no, people don't like losing money. So since it's suffek, he's not going to be nichle to give his whole field to the roa on the chance of a suffek, because he's not interested in losing the money. And therefore, it's more similar to a case of echad shivkid etzal balabayis, where we would say a motzi mechaver l'avraya. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll continue with the Mishnah. Before mincha, right? That's what we decided? Before mincha. Yeah.